thank you for your man of God. And thank you that the word you've given him is a word in due season that we all need to hear. We ask that you open our ears and our hearts to be able to receive what you have. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's read that scripture on the board behind me. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men, be strong. Let all your things be done in charity. That is the underlying premise of the message tonight. 1 Corinthians 16:13 through 14. And like most scriptures, it's easy to read that and not take it beyond its face value. Because at face value, you know, watch, stand fast in the face, quit you like men. That doesn't mean that men quit. Because I'm going to break it down real quick from the Greek. This is, like many scriptures, a charge to take action. So watch ye. The Greek word for that is gregoruo. And it's spelled G-R-E-G-O-R-E-U-O. Gregoruo. And that means keep awake. That is watch. And the translation of that into from Greek can literally mean figuratively wake up or physically wake up. Wake up. Watch. Stay awake. Stand fast in the faith. Let's do stand fast first. The phrase stand fast is stiko or stako. That means to be stationary, to persevere, to stand and not move, literally. I'm going to switch back to red. The faith. Pistis, which is persuasion, that is credence, moral conviction of religious truth or truthfulness of God or a religious teacher. So, persuasion, credence, moral conviction of religious truth or of a religious teacher, especially reliance upon Christ for salvation. And then the rest of the definition in Strong's was abstractly constancy in such profession, by extension, the system of religious gospel truth itself, assurance, belief, faith, and fidelity. So, faith, right? So moral conviction. Let's try the blue for quit you like men. The Greek for that phrase is kind of hard to spell. I mean, it's all hard to spell when you're actually writing in Greek. A-N-D-R-I-Z-O-M-A-I. And that is pronounced andridzomahi, and it means to act manly, with an emphasis on the concept of bravery. And then be strong. We'll see if we can all, let's see, is this one visible? Yep, be strong. That is kratayo'o. Kratayo'o, which means to empower, that is to increase in vigor, to be strengthened, or to wax strong. So this isn't just speaking about, like, you know, Aaron and I, probably more so Aaron than me, has done push-ups recently. I haven't done any push-ups, but I think Aaron still works out in his garage. But let's pretend that, you know, me and somebody who's never worked out have an arm wrestling contest. One of us is bound to be stronger than the other, right? It's not talking about the natural strength that you already have. It's talking about exercising and getting stronger. Be strong, which means keep doing what you need to do to increase your strength in this area. Wax strong. Levi's snoring.
Yeah. I can hardly hear you over it.
Holy moly. I'm sitting there looking for the kids.
My father likes
So watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. And then it's overlaid with, let all your things be done with charity. So now I'm going to review a prophetic word. The Lord would say, be alert. Be aware of what's going on about you, but do not be anxious. Do not be anxious that you may be walking in the wilderness, for right now you may be in that wilderness, walking in the power of my Spirit, knowing that there is a day that you're going to cross that river. You're going to move into the promised land, and you're going to move with my authority and my grace. For I've given you the promise. And if I've made a promise, then I will keep it. And I will say to you, my people, I am bringing forth my promise in this day. I am calling my people, every one of my persons, by individual name, and calling you forth to stand in the presence of my Spirit and see the power of the Lord God Almighty move. You know, it's not about the world, continuing that word. It's not about the United States, and it's not even about the state of Florida. I am saying to you, I have my eye on my people individually. Each one individually I care for. And I'm moving in your life to bring forth the power to move you out of the moderation of fear-based faith. And I say, there is no fear in me. Stand in the presence of my Spirit and see the power of my glory, and know that I have called you out individually. That was a command. Stand in the presence of my Spirit, see the power of my glory, and then know that I have called you out individually, that my Spirit dwells within you, giving you the strength and the wisdom to go forth, whether you think so or not. And if you asked me, and if you call on me, then I will give you wisdom. I will give you revelation of the word that I give to you, that you may know that I am in your presence, and that you may know that it is by my power that you stand. So be alert, my people. Be alert of those things about you, but do not be in fear. Do not walk in the presence of the enemy or in the darkness. For I say unto you, I am bringing forth my power in my people, saith the Lord. And that was the last given word in this house by Prophet Bill. It was on December the 6th.
Hallelujah.
And Reverend Bill planted a lot of seeds in this house. and in me. One of the overarching messages in his teachings and in the conversations that you have with him, there was two main points: integrity and courage. The definition of courage, it's a noun. It's the ability to do something that scares you. And it's showing strength in the face of pain or grief. That's courage. Integrity has a lot of definitions, and they're all applicable. The quality of being honest and having strong moral principles and moral uprightness. Its opposite is dishonesty, especially and including with yourself. And how many times have we heard Reverend Bill teaching about having integrity and being honest, and not only honest with others, but honest with yourself? Where are you really? Where are you really? He planted seeds that at least in the Bible, Moses didn't appear to want to have in him to produce fruit. You know, Bill said, instead of hide my wretchedness from me, O God, as Moses said, hide my wretchedness. The prophet spoke the word of God and said, be honest with yourself. Ask God to show you and ask him to reveal your wretchedness that you might be delivered. So the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles and moral uprightness, its opposite would be dishonesty, and that's a sin. Another definition of integrity is the state of being whole and undivided. The opposite of that would be division. The final definition is the condition of being unified, unimpaired, or sound in construction. So if a building's structures lacks integrity, or the integrity of a bridge is compromised, what does that mean? It means it doesn't contain all the pieces in order for it to be safe to use. Right? And God calls us, and he says to us, he didn't just call us to have all the pieces. He says, I've given them to you.
Good, good.
I've given them to you. Use them and act on them. Because he's not going to put a spiritual knife to your neck and make you evangelize and make you lay hands on people and make you preach and teach the word of God. He's a gentleman. And so the opposite of integrity, it's really the fragility, right? Fragile. If a bridge is missing pillars to support it, that's a fragile bridge. So we are to have courage and integrity and not be divisive, not be dishonest, and not be fragile. What does fragile Christianity look like?
Driven by your circumstances.
Absolutely.
Emotion. Driven by your emotions.
We're driven by your own logic and not God's word.
You're using your own reasoning when you reason stuff out too. You know, reason instead of walking by faith.
So if we're being honest with ourselves, other places in us where we're fragile. Even though God says, I've given you all the pieces you need to be a solid witness, are there places where we've allowed or we've removed something that upholds that structure? Because fragile Christians say things like, these are just for examples, oh, that's not my place to say that this is evil. Or God hasn't called me to what?
Preach, evangelize.
Fill in the blanks, right?
Yeah.
God hasn't called me to preach. God hasn't called me to teach.
Pray.
God hasn't called me to pray.
Prophesy.
Right. God hasn't called me to prophesy.
My hands feel.
Another thing a fragile Christian might say is, I can't tell them that because they might get offended. But we are to speak the truth and to speak it lovingly and in love. And to let all of our things be done with love. So if somebody that you care about or that you claim to care about is doing something very dangerous, for instance, we have a lot of small kids in this church. If a small child is running out towards traffic and it's 5 o'clock on Capitol Circle, are we going to stop them? Are we going to say, sit down, get your butt back over here? Are we going to run out and grab them and yank them by the collar out of the traffic? Absolutely, because we love them and we're trying to save their life. Well, we have to do that too, and we have to use wisdom to do it. And God said in the prophetic word spoken through Reverend Bill in December that if we ask for wisdom, he'll give it to us. But we have to speak out against death at all times. Where we see death, we need to call it out, rebuke it, and try to show people that it's there so that they can repent. So let's go to Daniel 1. Actually, don't go there. We'll go to Joshua later. I'm just going to read my notes from Daniel 1, from verses 1 to 21. Because Daniel had a lot of what?
Courage.
He had a lot of courage. He also had uncompromising what?
Faith
and integrity. Whoops. No, point number two is not Daniel. So Daniel and his buddies, how old were they, roughly?
Somewhere between 18 or 16 to about 21, somewhere.
What point?
Say 16
yes,
to 20.
At what point? Where?
In the very beginning when they were taken.
Little teens.
They were looking for children, it says. Bring us children. And I looked up the original translation of that, and it literally means someone's offspring that is righteous and good and upright, because they were going to take these really bright kids with a lot of potential, and in exchange for their service to the kingdom, they were going to educate them. So these young men of noble Jewish families, they were brought to Babylon to receive an education for civil service. And then what happened to their names? What did they do to their names? They changed their names. And they didn't just change their names from Daniel to, like, Danny or Derek. They changed their names to alter its meaning as much as possible. Because the name Daniel means judge of God or God's judge. It puts the emphasis on the Lord and not on the man who bears the name. But then they changed Daniel's name to Belteshazzar, which translates to Lord with a lowercase L, Lord of the Straitened's treasure. It takes it off of God and puts it on an earthly thing. Or a distraction from God. Hananiah, Daniel's buddy, means God has favored. Again, putting the emphasis on the Lord. He was called Shadrach, which translates to the great scribe or royal. It puts the emphasis on man. Mishael means who is what God is. So let me turn this into English. My name is Justin, and Justin means I am who Aaron is. So it's emphasizing God, a desire to be godly, a reflection of God. And if somebody has a better interpretation, speak it up whenever. But his name, Mishael's name, was changed to Meshach, which means the guest of a king, puts the emphasis on man. Azariah means God has helped. He was called Abednego, which means a servant of somebody named Nebo. The food provided to Daniel was probably contravened from Leviticus 3:17 that he asked for, because he refused to eat the food that was offered to idols. And Leviticus 3:17 just talks about dietary laws. There was no fat or blood in what Daniel asked to eat. And according to the usual custom, it had been presented before an idol, which is from 1 Corinthians 8:10. But note these words in verse 8. It says, but Daniel, what did he do? But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. And it's important to resolve in one's heart. Because if we are truly watchful, unmovable, people of convictions that don't change because we don't set the standard for our convictions, God is the standard for our convictions, right? Because what did, this might be something neat that maybe somebody hasn't heard before. When the devil said to Adam and Eve, or when he said to Eve, like, surely you're not going to die, you'll just become like gods. Meaning, the revelation I've gotten on that was, you're not going to necessarily, start glowing and have a halo over your head. But now, you'll be able to use your own reasoning to determine what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's evil. It allowed man to start creating standards of which to live by. And here we are in 2021. It says, Daniel purposed in his heart, because, again, it's important, because if we do all of this and all of our things are done with charity, and we are courageous and we have integrity, then there are things that are impossible for us. Not godly things, worldly things should be impossible for us. It should be impossible for your character, through the process of seeking God and receiving deliverance, to not move forward in your walk with God, right? But yet, we can backslide, can't we? Too many of us have a secret reserve. We barricade the front door and make sure that it's shut and that nothing can ever open it, because we're not supposed to do that thing. But then we have a back door too that perhaps we leave unlatched and compromise. Could be with the same issue or something totally different. But all sin is death. It's all connected. It's all death. We ought to realize the extent to which Paul referred to when he said, dead to sin. Because God always cooperates with his servants when they're true to him. He brought Daniel into favor. He gave him skill. He caused his face and that of his three friends to bear the hue of health during a 10-day period where all they ate was vegetables. And yet they were fatter than people eating the meat and drinking the wine. So let us trust God to do his part. Because trusting God and being steadfast is the secret of continuance that's mentioned in Daniel 1:21 when it says Daniel continued unto whatever it says at that last word, some king. Let's talk about Joshua. So go to Deuteronomy 31. Who was Joshua?
One of the two who entered in.
Say that louder.
One of the two who entered in.
Right. Who was his father figure? Moses. Who was his dad, though?
None.
Yeah, he was born in the convent. Son of none. And it doesn't say a whole lot about none in the Bible.
None of the others.
Some scholars assume or wonder if Nun actually died as a slave in Egypt, because there's not a lot on him. And so Joshua naturally clings to Moses as a father figure and not just a leader. And this came from a Father's Day message. So this chapter is kind of a link between sunset and sunrise. The sun sets on Moses and the work that God had done in him, and then rises to continue that work in Joshua. Mm-hmm. Let me stop there. God has set the sun on Prophet Bill. Who in this house is willing to let God do a sunset for you to continue the work that he began through Bill?
I am.
Amen.
Amen.
Because we're not fragile Christians. We're not supposed to be fragile. Oh, I can't do it. Yeah, you can. God says you can. God doesn't just say you can, he promises. And God doesn't break a promise. So just like the passing of Moses and the raising up of Joshua, this is our opportunity to not only honor God, which is more important than the latter, which would be honoring Bill and his memory. Mm-hmm. So the sun rises to continue that work in Joshua. God buries his workers, but he carries on his work. No one is indispensable, meaning God doesn't need you. He doesn't need anyone. God can do it without anyone. But he likes to use us. He likes to have a relationship with us. And he likes intimacy with his people.
Yes. Very good.
So as Moses was succeeded by Joshua, Stephen was succeeded by Paul. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8 says, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever." So get your mouths ready. Get ready to pump oil. The old lawgiver passes on the assurances upon which he had rested. Moses rested upon assurances of God and passed them on. Reverend Bill has poured himself out into this body of the things that God had done in his 81 years of living for the Lord. And he passed it on, just as Moses passed it on. Because what are men? We're merely just figureheads of movements which are greater than ourselves. God goes before us. God destroys. God accompanies and delivers. So let timid souls take courage. Let timid souls take courage. Because when the Good Shepherd puts us forth, who's in front of us? When Jesus calls us to go forth, who's in front of us? Jesus. He goes before us. According to John 10:4. The iron gates stand open at his commands, and the giant stones are rolled away from the doors of the tombs. He will not fail us. And that reappears, that he will not fail thee, reappears in the book of Hebrews 13, verse 5, as your right as a believer. It is your right to have God not fail you if you are seeking. Now, keep in mind, your perspective could be wrong, because we talked about fragile Christians and how they can do things out of emotion or out of feeling or out of their own logic or their own understanding, right? So if I have my own way of understanding God that's not necessarily lined up with the way that scriptures say about who he is, or even better, I haven't found a church to go to yet to submit to, because really, I mean, everybody's just kind of a pompous, pious know-it-all. And I wanted to go to this church, but, you know, that preacher, he just kind of hurt my feelings because he's kind of a jerk. I wanted to go to this other church, but their music ministry was lacking because this guy up there, he actually has the audacity to play with a backwards hat on and he can't play very good. Sorry about wearing the hat, by the way. Mm-hmm. Reverend Bill would disapprove. if I'm that kind of person and I have, what's the word for that? I have lawlessness in me, then my perspective of God could very well be that God has failed me. even though God hasn't failed me. He's just sitting there waiting for me to repent and to start using integrity and to be honest with myself. And that rude preacher that he put in that church that I went to who hurt my feelings was there giving me the word of God, because that preacher saw death at my doorstep and was calling me to repent. So Deuteronomy 31 verse 1. Moses went and he spake these words unto all Israel. He said unto them, I am 120 years old this day, and I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord has said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. And the Lord thy God, he will go over before you, and he will destroy these nations from before you, and you will possess them. And Joshua, and he shall go over before you as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did unto Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Then what's it say? Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee, and will not fail thee or forsake thee. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Quit you like men, be brave, and be strong. Let me talk about that 1 Corinthians real quick, because stand fast in the faith. Stand fast, we said, was be stationary or stand. Mrs. Moore, pretend for a second that you're outside your house at midnight. Teddy is nowhere to be seen. That's your big dog's name, right? Teddy? Like Cujo? Teddy's nowhere to be seen. All of a sudden you hear coyotes barking. You take your cell phone, you turn the light on, and there's about 15 coyotes up 20 yards away from you. And all of a sudden they go from standing real still to pouncing towards you. Stand fast in the faith means that even in that situation, you don't move. Now, by all means, run for your life against coyotes. But I'm talking about the spiritual coyotes that want to devour us, or the anxieties or the fears that we may have. Like, you know, it's a big deal getting up and teaching the Word of God when you're not used to it.
Even when you are used to it.
But instead of it becoming a chore, it becomes a love. It becomes an honor. Even if you get up here and you screw something up sometimes. Nobody's hit me yet.
Charge.
But the things that we face anxiety about, standing in line at Walmart or at the store, one of the things Natalie says all the time is I can't take you anywhere. Right?
Not my kids, I say that to you.
Yeah. I can't take you anywhere. Why can't you take me anywhere, honey?
Because you embarrass me.
Because I do what? I talk to people, and sometimes I say things that are funny to make them laugh that otherwise most people would probably be uncomfortable doing, right? Mm-hmm. So public speaking and engaging a stranger is not something that I've ever really struggled with as an adult. The things that I do struggle with as an adult that I'm supposed to be doing, that's part of me standing fast in the faith, is getting up at 5 o'clock every morning when the alarm goes off instead of sleeping through it and hitting snooze. That's hard for me, right? Easy for her.
Not easy.
Huh?
Not easy.
But you've got the discipline. You've got the discipline. I have the discipline to engage strangers. I have the discipline, as I'm engaging a stranger, to sit there and think, okay, God, is there anything you want this person to know right now? And this is not me tooting my horn. This is just an example. Because not everybody that I'm looking at in this room can do that comfortably. But God says to do it. Right? He says, you're a light. Don't hide it under a bed. Shine. Keep your lamp full of oil and shine. Verse 6, be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that goes with you, and he will not fail you or forsake you. Verse 7, and Moses called unto Joshua. Now he's talking to Joshua directly, but everyone else can hear, because it was done in the sight of all Israel. He tells Joshua, be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and you will cause them to inherit it. Did you hear that? He's not saying, okay, Joshua, if you take the torch and you run with it the way that I did, you're going to get these awesome rewards for yourself. He just gave authority to Joshua, and part of that authority is now you have to lead them into the promised land that was promised to them. Mm-hmm. Our role as servants of the Most High God is to assist and lead others into the promised land so that they can inherit it. So that they can inherit it. See the previous explanation about fragile Christians. It's not about us. It's not about you. No man ought to think of himself more highly than he ought to. I believe that's Romans.
Good.
It's not about us. It's about them inheriting. And if you are in this church as somebody who believes that this is where you are called to be, then you do not fall into the category of one of the thems that's going to be led into the promised land. I say through the Word of God that you are called to be a servant leader and to lead others into that promised land if you are submitted to this body.
Amen.
And the Lord, he will go before you. This is verse 8. He will be with you. He will not fail you, neither forsake you. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Which means, wake up. Stay awake. Snap out of your slumber and your sleep. Quit being a lazy Christian. Be immovable in the face of adversity in the beliefs laid forth in the Bible and in the moral convictions and in the seeds that have been planted into you up to this point. After this, Moses reads the law out loud, and then Joshua is commissioned to lead Israel. Skip down to Deuteronomy 31:23. He gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge, and he says, be strong and of good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. And now, this is where verse 14 applies from 1 Corinthians. As that's going on, let all things that you do be done with love, with charity. Now the last section, go to 1 Kings chapter 2. Another father and son moment. Another manly moment in 1 Kings chapter 2. Say amen if you've gotten there.
Amen.
Okay. Now the days of David drew near that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself as a man. Be brave. Be brave. That doesn't mean be a jerk. It means have courage and integrity and be brave. Do the right thing. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men and be strong. Verse 3. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and whithersoever you turn yourself. That the Lord may continue his word, which he spake concerning me. And that was interesting. I'm gonna finish verse 4, because verse 3 and 4 run together. So I'm going to go back to verse 3. So his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do, and whatsoever you turn yourself, or whatsoever, what direction soever you take. The Lord may continue his word, which he spake concerning me, saying, if your children take heed to their way to walk before me in truth with all of their heart, with all of their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. So that phrase, the Lord may continue. It's not saying that God's limited. So if you don't do this, you know, you need to give him permission to continue. It's not that God is limited by saying may continue. And it's talking about the ministry of David being continued on and passed down to Solomon. But rather, it's that if we keep ourselves, and if Solomon keeps himself in a state of vigilance and action, as this whiteboard says behind me, by doing that, and Deaconess Michelle has taught on prayer, your life and your actions can become prayers and can become you crying out to God without even physically crying out to God, but asking him, allowing him, and permitting him to continue that work that of those that came before us. Did I make sense with that, or did I kind of ramble?
Can you say that again?
Yes. God is not limited, but if we keep ourselves in a state of vigilance and action, with courage, with integrity, we're watchful, we're standing fast, immovable in our faith in God, meaning if somebody is taken away from this earth early, and no man, what's that, Isaiah 57? The righteous is taken away early. Even the Reverend Bill lived well beyond the promise given to him in the scriptures. He was 81. If you live like this, you're going to change. You're going to draw closer to God. And what does the love of God do to us? It delivers us. What's it deliver us from? First thing it does is it pulls our souls out of the potential for going to hell. And it gives us eternal life. The second thing it does is it starts to change how you think, starts to change what you want. Your spirit is your mind, your will, and your emotions. It's delivering your spirit. So it's changing the way you think. It's changing the things you want. And it's changing your behavior, emotions, mind, will, and emotions. And then lastly, as I believe that Reverend Bill is experiencing, it transforms you completely, that you might enter and dwell in the fullness of the joy of the Lord for eternity with him in the city of God. Forever. So, if we are doing this, Michelle, what I am saying is, this is, if the Bible had a recipe for becoming a better person, this is one of the ingredients in the Bible to becoming a better person, because it's going to get you to stop thinking about yourself and thinking about your circumstances, and it's going to give you a life where instead of being selfish, you are now selfless. And when you are selfless and leading others into the promised land that God has for them, then you're prospered. Did I still make sense that time? Or
it's good.
Talk about it later? Okay. If we need to talk about it after communion, we can. And Pastor, if it's okay, I have an idea for communion, if you'll permit me.
Sure.
Okay, thank you. I'm almost done. The Lord will continue his word which he spake concerning me. This is back to 1 Kings 2:4. If the children take heed of their way to walk before me in truth with all their heart, with all their soul. That's a lot. That's a lot to commit to. I'm going to love you with all of my heart. That's a big statement that probably gets misused a lot. Because if I really love you with all my heart, then my love is unconditional, which means I stop worrying about you having to please me. And my concern is, are you pleasing God? And I'm not completely there yet. That's something I'm working on in fatherhood. My kids don't have to please me. They have to please God. But sometimes I get a little big for my britches because they remind me of this. And I have caught myself saying before, like, yeah, but I am God's representative and priest in this house. Therefore, you please me too.
It's good practice.
Lord, don't let me screw up my children. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. 1 Corinthians 16:14, let all your things be done with charity. Now it's time for the confession. This is Reverend Bill's sermon that spoke to me back in 2007 that I wrote down in my Bible. He gave this word on July 29th, 2007 on manliness and being what it means to be a man of God. And then I have added to those notes in my Bible from when he has taught on Father's Day, and he brought up the conversation between Moses and Joshua. So these are seeds that he has planted in us. We have an obligation to nurture the seeds that have been planted in us by keeping our soil watered by the Word of God, fertilized by the accountability and being submitted to authority of those above us. And part of being fertilized is being pruned. Mm-hmm. If hypothetically, if I say, Megan, you got to stop wearing that red mask because it's the color of the devil. You know? Obeying. Megan, you wear whatever mask you want. So let's go ahead and transition to communion now. Please stand. Megan, I'm going to ask you to get ready to cast this to the TV as soon as I finish praying, okay? I mean, you can go ahead and cast it, but don't hit play until we're done praying at the beginning of communion. And as we take communion tonight, we're going to take it, first and foremost, to have communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're also all in a state of mourning to some degree over the loss of Prophet Bill. And now I've just given all of you something to think about as far as, are you willing to take the torch and carry it and let God continue that work in you? So as we take communion tonight, we're going to do